The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Washington Post and the New York Times. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the stories that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we share stories about new travel technologies. Also, we have a call to watch what you wear when you fly, and then some stories about dealing with unusual surprises while traveling. Now, first up is, will Apple Digital ID replace your passport? Sort of, states the headline for Natalie B. Compton's story. It appeared in the December 5th, 2025 issue of the Washington Post. So, here we go. And the editors had this caption, Digital ID is a new way for users to create an ID in Apple Wallet using information from the U.S. passport and present it with the security and privacy of the iPhone or Apple Watch. Now the story. The Apple Wallet has been digitizing our travel experience for years. We can tap our iPhones and Apple Watches to pay for our cab to the airport and our snacks at Hudson News. It has replaced boarding passes and hotel room keys. Now we're getting digital passports, but, for now at least, you can't use it for international travel. And in parentheses, passport stamps, on the other hand, are going quick. In November, Apple debuted the Digital ID, a feature that allows users to securely upload their passport information to their Apple wallets to use at airport security in lieu of presenting a physical ID card. The feature, which is in beta testing, comes 3 years after the company rolled out digital driver's licenses and state IDs, and it is now available at more than 250 U.S. airports. You can only use it for domestic travel in certain states, but it may streamline your security check, particularly if you have procrastinated on getting a real ID. Now, here's what to know. What is Digital ID? Well, Digital ID is a way to add your passport to your Apple Wallet so you can use it as an ID for travel and other uses, such as age verification at a bar. It can't be used for international travel. Once the digital ID is activated, which requires taking photos of your physical passport as well as a few selfies, users can present their iPhone or Apple Watch in lieu of a physical ID at airport security checkpoints in participating states. You don't need to unlock your device or even hand it over to a Transportation Security Administration officer to use it. You just tap your device at the TSA ID verification terminal. This new solution will provide enhanced security, significant privacy protections, and seamlessness for passengers who choose to opt in, TSA senior counselor to the administrator, Carrie Sherritt, said in an email. Because the digital ID is created with your passport, it means that TSA's new ID meets the TSA's new ID requirements. That means you could use it to avoid the $45 verification charge. Apple's digital ID is only available to use on Apple devices, such as the iPhone and Apple Watch, but Android users can upload a comparable digital ID to Google Wallet, and Samsung also has its own wallet. However, Samsung does not allow for uploading a passport, just driver's licenses. Some states, including California, New York, and Virginia, have released their own mobile ID apps for digital driver's licenses as well. Now, check the TSA website to see which options are available in which states. Where can I use it? Well, digital IDs can be used at more than 250 airports across the United States, including Puerto Rico. The TSA website has a running list of participating states and issuing authorities. But even if you're traveling through a state where digital IDs are eligible, the TSA says you should always carry a physical, acceptable form of ID because you may be asked to produce one to confirm your identity. Faith Bradley, a professor of information systems and technology management at George Washington University School of Business, whose doctoral dissertation focused on real ID implementation, also encourages people to always have their IDs on them just in case their iPhone or Apple Watch dies or they encounter an official who hasn't been trained on the technology. She has encountered hurdles trying to use her digital ID in different scenarios, once at an airport and another time after a minor car accident in a state where digital driver's licenses are approved for official use. I wanted to show my driver's license on my phone, and the police officer said, "That's not acceptable," said Bradley. In both situations, she ended up needing her physical ID. Is it safe to put my passport on my phone? Well, Bradley is skeptical of the security of all digital wallets in general, pointing to the ongoing risk of cyber attacks. Apple said in a news release that digital ID is encrypted to guard against tampering and theft. Your passport information is stored on your device and can only be accessed using biometric authentication by way of Face ID or Touch ID. The company can't see when or where you're using the ID or what data is presented. Apple declined a request for an interview. Google also says its wallet makes sure your ID is stored and encrypted so it stays secure. And Samsung says it uses multi-layered security to safeguard your encrypted data. How to add it. Adding your digital ID is similar to adding a payment method to your Apple Wallet. You will need your physical passport handy to take photos of both the ID page and the back flap, which contains an embedded microchip, and you will need to shoot several selfies at different angles. Make sure to take them with a clean background without anyone else in the shot. For more details on the process, you can visit the Apple website. How to use it? Well, when you arrive at the airport, follow your usual routine and head to the security checkpoint lanes, pre-check or standard. Instead of pulling out your physical ID, you open your phone wallet and tap it to the TSA's ID verification machine, same way you would tap your device to a cashier's credit card terminal at a grocery store. You don't have to unlock your device. The TSA agent will take your photo to compare it with the image stored in your digital wallet. Then you will be waved through to the X-ray portion of security. Now, the digital wallet may shave off a few moments from your security experience or save you from that real ID fee. For an even faster way to get through security, you can enroll in TSA PreCheck Touchless ID. That's a biometric program being rolled out across the country with select airlines. Well, we continue to hear more and more about artificial intelligence, or AI, and its potential impact on all aspects of our lives. As our next story reveals, it would appear AI may well have a big say in how we're going to travel in the future. Writer Gage Castro-Root has learned that companies are racing to develop artificial intelligence tools that can make reservations for flights, hotels, and more on your behalf. Now, his article, "What is Agentic AI, and Would You Trust It to Book a Flight?" updates you on what you need to know. Now, the story appeared in the November 25th, 2025 issue of the New York Times. And there was an editor's note going into the story. Companies are racing to develop artificial intelligence tools that can make reservations for flights, hotels, and more on your behalf. And so here's what to know, as they say. Now, a bot may soon be booking your vacation, is how they begin this particular story. Millions of travelers already use artificial intelligence to compare options for flights, hotels, rental cars, and more. About 30% of U.S. travelers say they're comfortable using AI to plan a trip, but these tools are about to take a big step. Agentic AI, a rapidly emerging type of artificial intelligence, will be able to find and pay for reservations with limited human involvement, developers say. Companies like Expedia, Google, Kayak, and Priceline are experimenting with or rolling out agentic AI tools. Now, travelers using agentic AI would set parameters like dates and a price range for their travel plans, then hand over their credit card information to the bot, which would monitor prices and book on their behalf. These tools, still in their early stages of deployment, are set to grow rapidly. 80% of travel executives plan to begin offering agentic AI tools at scale within the next 5 years, according to a September report by the consulting firm McKinsey & Company and Skift, a travel industry publication. As with all AI tools, the landscape is changing fast. Now, here's a look at what you can and can't do with agentic AI right now and what the future may hold. And that comes with a question for the next section. How can travelers use agentic AI? For now, agentic tools aren't able to book independently. Instead, they offer users a much finer level of detail than searches using generative tools. Think of agentic AI as a personal assistant, said Shilpa Raghunathan, the chief product officer at the Expedia Group, which is developing both generative and agentic AI trip planning tools. While the more familiar generative AI can summarize information and answer questions, agentic tools can carry out tasks. Travelers benefit by deputizing these tools to perform time-consuming chores like tracking flight prices. Instead of manually running every search or comparison yourself, agentic AI can do the work in the background and come back with the most relevant options, Ms. Raghunathan said. When comparing hotel options, for example, an agentic tool should be able to pinpoint multiple properties' rates for your requested dates, identify whether they have availability, and compile that information in one place so you can easily compare. A generative tool might simply recommend hotels that broadly fit your budget and offer links to each website where you can check the details. The technology to automate purchases already exists, says Cobus Koch, the vice president for product and AI at the online travel agency Priceline, but the consumers may not be ready for it. We don't yet have a view on how many autonomy customers may want, or how much autonomy, I should say, customers may want, said Mr. Koch, who is developing Priceline's AI bot, and they call it Penny. Now, when Penny debuted in 2023, it primarily served to answer simple questions, such as if pets were allowed at a hotel. Today, the tool can conduct several searches at once, telling a user, for example, which winter weekend has the cheapest flights for a getaway to Miami. When it comes to booking, Mr. Cox said, I can definitely see a future where Penny does some tasks autonomously or semi-autonomously. Steve Hafner, chief executive on the online booking site Kayak, said his company was building software that can book, modify, and manage travel in real time. He described the process as a multi-year journey, noting it may take time for consumer habits to adjust accordingly. Google has also begun a phased rollout of agentic AI tools to find restaurant reservations, event tickets, and more. The company has not announced a timeline for enabling AI to make reservations directly, though a company blog post hinted at the effort. In the future, we'll also make it possible to finish booking flights and hotels directly in AI mode, he said. Now, how are travelers reacting? Well, cautiously. Just 2% of travelers are ready to give AI autonomy to book or modify plans after receiving human guidance. Skift State of Travel 2025 found this out in a survey and later report. A Booking.com report published in July found that 12% of respondents were comfortable with AI making independent decisions, concluding, quote, the greatest opportunity lies in positioning AI as a supportive tool that enhances rather than replaces human judgment, unquote. At the same time, more than 90% of travelers said they highly trusted travel information generated by AI, said Skift, or stated Skift. Now, privacy also remains a top concern. The Booking.com survey found that more than half of consumers were worried about how companies use their data, a hurdle that developers will need to overcome if they want to persuade travelers to hand over their credit card numbers. Proponents argue that providing advanced authorization for a purchase within established criteria is hardly different from customers making purchases themselves. While their habits may evolve with new technology, that fundamental trust won't change, Mr. Hafner said. Bots will simply be an extension of that behavior. Doesn't AI make things up? Well, hallucinations in which AI chatbots give false information in their answers are a well-documented problem. In travel accuracy is everything, said Mrs. Raghunathan. And if AI suggests the wrong hotel, flight, or visa requirement, it can erode trust instantly. To mitigate the risk, she said, Expedia's AI draws information from the same data set its classic booking interface uses and not from the wider internet as a general interest chatbot does. Now, Other companies say their tools have similar safeguards. Mr. Cox said rigorous testing and customer feedback would help identify and root out any problems. No one else in the market is doing this yet, he said. We expect to stay at the forefront, but we're also responsible for making sure we're not pushing products on customers. By the way, our writer, Gabe Casper Root, is a travel reporter and also a member of the 2025-26 New York Times Fellowship Class, a program for journalists early in their careers. Well, we're going to switch from travel tech to travel wear for our next article. Travelers wear pajamas to airports in protest of government requests. Now, this was the headline for Hannah Sampson's story that appeared in the December 4th, 2025 issue of the Washington Post. As Ms. Sampson learned, some flyers believe the indignities of modern air travel don't deserve formal wear. Let's learn why. Kat Sullivan needed to pick out an outfit for her Thanksgiving travels. After hearing Transportation Secretary Sean P. Duffy implore travelers to dress with respect at the airport, she went to her stash of her fanciest clothes for an act of malicious compliance. That's how Sullivan, a Los Angeles-based TV producer and internet comedian, ended up running through a concourse in sneakers and a long dress with an old Hollywood feel. I never bail on a bit, she wrote in another video, which showed her in the same dress as she made a freezing walk from the plane at Jackson Hole Airport in Wyoming. Sullivan said in an interview that her experience illustrates how insane this directive is. The dress was incredibly impractical. I think it was like 30 degrees when I landed, she said. It was definitely not the right thing to be wearing. In a news conference before the holiday, Duffy suggested that travelers wear at least a decent shirt and a pair of jeans. He was building on an earlier campaign to return to the, quote, golden age of travel, unquote. I would encourage people to maybe dress a little better, which encourages us to maybe behave all the little better, he said. Let's try not to wear slippers and pajamas as we come to the airport. Now, many travelers on social media responded by saying, nah, we're good. I will be wearing my slippers, one woman wrote on TikTok, wondering why the government was concerned about her airport loungewear. Many pointed out the delays, fees, bare-bones amenities, and minimal service they would be experiencing on their trips. Hardly the conditions for luxury threads. I should wear my nicest suit so I can sit in someone else's Biscoff crumbs, comedian Michelle Wolf said in an Instagram, offering a list of travel indignities. We're not dressing for the air travel we want, we're dressing for the air travel we have, she said. Airport pajamas have been the subject of debate for years, long before the issue became a government talking point. Certain commentators have praised Duffy's recent push. A New York Post opinion piece complained about sloppy travelers. They're wearing stained Garfield pajama pants and dragging their pillows and blankets through the Terminal 2, it wrote. Well, some people posted their own photos of Duffy-approved outfits at the airport. In a video online, lifestyle creator and life coach Sammy Knight joked that she was actually going to be exclusively wearing pajamas to the airport now. In reality, she said, she tends to wear something like sweatpants, leggings, or jeans and a sweatshirt. You already spent so much money on the tickets and the whole process of traveling, said Knight, who lives in Rhode Island. It's never bothered me to see someone comfortable before. I think it's absurd. Some characterized their choices as an act of political resistance. The hashtag pajamas resistance made an appearance, triggering Donald Trump's Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, says the text on a TikTok by Democratic activist Jaime Palamandesa, 24, of Philadelphia. He showed off his red plaid pajama pants at the airport in Portland, Maine, in a post set to the audio of Duffy's Thanksgiving travel wardrobe request. Palamandesa said he usually wears such pants when he flies and was doing so when he first heard about the dress-up campaign. In an interview, he said that Duffy and President Donald Trump should be more concerned about lowering costs for families so they can afford nicer outfits. The priorities of this administration are so not straight, he said. Robin Iacona, an administrative assistant from Louisiana, said in an email that she chose jogger-style pajama pants, a T-shirt, and compression socks for a return flight from Dublin on Friday. Civility starts with being a good human and leading by example, she wrote, and not with whether or not one wears pajama pants and slippers on a long-haul flight. Benet J. Wilson, a longtime aviation journalist, knew what she wanted to respond to the golden age of travel push when she saw when she flew Monday, but it wasn't sure if she should dress up in a black velvet dress or down in pajamas, so she flipped a coin. Pajamas won, she said. She started flying at 6:30 a.m. and by the afternoon was awaiting her third flight of the day after several delays. The government, she said, has bigger fish to fry than what people are wearing. Good thing I decided to wear pajamas and slippers, she wrote in a social media post about the travel hiccups, tagging Duffy. This may be my new travel uniform. Well, anyone who has traveled and will probably recall this kind of experience. How often have you traveled only to encounter something that was not on your itinerary or maybe came as a complete surprise? Well, veteran travel writer Andrea Sachs talked with some international travelers who shared stories about elephants, buffalo, and all manner of monkey mischief. Now, her story, Bad Monkey Travelers Share Wild Tales of Animal Encounters, appeared in the December 3rd, 2025 issue of the Washington Post. Here we go with that one. Greta Palmer was sitting on her hotel balcony in Hampi, India, when she heard a commotion upstairs. Her friends had been eating breakfast when a troop of monkeys materialized. They blocked the exit and engaged in X-rated acts, much to her travel companion's horror. Palmer was laughing at the animals' antics and her friends' shrieks when she discovered she wasn't alone. I slowly turned my head around, and I see six monkeys in my hotel room, ransacking my room, said Palmer, chief marketing and communications officer at Best Friends Animal Society, who spent several weeks in India last November. Before absconding with her apples and bananas, the bonnet macaques, that's the type of monkey, dumped sugar packets from the coffee station all over the floor in suitcases. One chucked Palmer's retainer across the room. Another emptied its bladder. I didn't realize it until I was walking across the room, and all of a sudden I noticed monkey pee on the bottom of my pajamas, Palmer said. Palmer hollered at them to leave. That night, the scufflaws returned, pounding on the door. It was hilarious and appalling at the same time, she said. When traveling, wildlife encounters often resemble nature documentaries, cinematic episodes capturing an animal's strength, beauty, and spirit. Many others look more like America's funniest videos. Monkeys raiding hotel rooms, sea lions nipping at snorkelers' heels, a penguin bunking with a surprise guest. Animals never cease to amuse and amaze us, especially when our interactions with them are unscripted. In some destinations, such as India, Australia, and Africa, where developing has encroached on natural areas, animals and humans bump into each other on a regular basis. You should do your best to keep a safe distance from wild creatures, even if they are in your space. And as Palmer learned, always lock the door and avoid carrying bananas in monkey-dense places. Well, we've collected more anecdotes from travelers and animal specialists who have found themselves in some truly wild situations around the world. Here's one example, an elephant solution to snoring. After a long day of tracking lions in Zambia's Kafue National Park, a team from Panthera, a wildcat conservation organization, set up tents in the bush. One camper's snoring was so loud a park resident decided to take action. A passing elephant took exception and threw a table on his tent, said Jake Overton, director of Panthera Zambia. While this didn't injure the scout, it did give him a huge fright and stopped the snoring for good. A macaque with a taste for croissants. Heidi Derflinger was enjoying a croissant and fruit near the sacred monkey forest sanctuary in Ubud in Bali, Indonesia, when a local dropped by her breakfast table. It jumped right out of the tree and onto the table and helped itself, Derflinger, CEO of EF World Journey, said of the long-tailed macaque. I screamed, jumped out of my chair, then grabbed my phone, not to take photos to thwart the thief from stealing her device, too. Sugar thieves in South Africa. In South Africa, two baby monkeys would sneak into Stacy Gruen's office for their daily fix. Once inside, they'd dunk their faces in the sugar bowl by the coffee machine. I was always startled to look up from my computer and see a monkey with a complete sugar face smiling at me over the top of my laptop, said Gruen, a senior public relations manager at Intrepid Travel. a penguin's five-star nest. Growing up in Australia, Malcolm Griffiths is accustomed to animals in his personal space. On a trip to Tasmania, Griffiths stayed at the Diamond Island Resort, which sits along a route used by little penguins that travel nightly between the ocean and their burrows. He said he foolishly ignored signs advising guests to close the sliding door and woke up to a chirping sound and the sight of a penguin hopping around the foot of his bed. "No doubt it was enjoying the warmth of my room," said Griffiths, a destination marketing and management specialist based in New York. Griffiths shooed out the uninvited guest, which left without a peep. Oh, my. Honey badgers raid the fridge. Well, this is interesting here, okay? During her travels in Africa, Rebecca Gawley, head of a public relations at Unforgettable Travel, crossed paths with many animals with rap sheets. At the Sabai Private Game Reserve in South Africa, she recalls the time a guest had left a bikini out to dry in the sun. Brevet monkeys stole the top and pranced around with it, entertaining guests with their loot. On the same trip, Vervets broke into a dorm room in South Africa and pilfered a volunteer's pack of contraceptive pills. Honey badgers, which Gawley described as notoriously naughty, broke into a fridge at a lodge in Namibia and helped themselves to goodies to prevent future pillaging by the Weasley critters, as she calls them. The staff had to place a huge chain with a padlock around the fridge. Next, we have sea lions play tag at the Galapagos. Now, on a Galapagos adventure, Amy Denniston was snorkeling when she felt a strange smacking sensation against her leg. It was like the mouth sort of a nipping, nipping at my kneecap, said Denniston, a senior research librarian at a D.C. law firm. It wasn't a painful or sharp, it was just weird. She peered through the water but didn't see any rocks or sea creatures, so she resumed swimming and felt a tug on her flipper. She rose to the surface and snapped some photos underwater, exposing the culprits, two young sea lions chasing each other and biting each other's flippers. "They tried to get my attention," she said, "but they probably went away from the whole experience being like, well, that was no fun." A buffalo says hello. As the child of missionaries in Kenya and a former Africa analyst with the CIA, Holly Berkeley Fletcher has a barrel of bad monkey and Cape Buffalo stories. She has been on about 20 safaris over 40 years and hosts tour groups with Golden Green Africa Safaris. During an excursion to Ngorongoro Crater in Tanzania, she and her family exited the lodge's dining room to find a herd of Cape buffalo populating the pathways to the rooms. They slowly edged around the dangerous animals. "I was scared to death," she said, "and made it back safely." A short time later, they heard a rustling noise. Fletcher opened the curtains and came face to face with a buffalo chomping on the flowers in the window box. And at Nakuru National Park in Kenya, she said her family was waiting in the car while she, her dad rather, paid the entry fee when a brevet monkey jumped through the open window. The surprised passenger triggered her mother's protective defenses. "Without hesitation, my mother punched him in the face, and he fell out backward," Fletcher said. And with that, my friends, we come to the end of today's journey on Armchair Traveler. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be listening next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, reminding you the content of our program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.